Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Awesome. But right now we've got a great privilege because Chris Green and myself are going to tag team preach. So we'll even tag halfway through just so it's clear and obvious. Can we do double team for a second while we do a move on someone and then the... Do you have 10 seconds in the ring and then the other person jumps out? Anyway, it's going to be awesome. So Chris is going to lead off. And I'm just so excited to hear the word of God and hear what Chris has to share. So I know you just sat down, but let's think of our quads. Let's jump up. Let's put our hands together and welcome Chris as he comes to preach.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. As Marty said, my name is Chris. Along with my incredible wife, we get the privilege of being the Youth and Young Adults Directors here at Elevation here in Mandurah. I want to start off by just saying, if you're new here, I just want to say you guys are so welcome. Even if you're not here, if you've been here for the 100th time now, you guys are so welcome. It is such a privilege to be able to serve here in Mandurah. Marty speaks about it just about every preach he does, but the drive through the Nullarbor to get here to serve with you guys, I would do it 100 times over to be able to serve with you guys because you guys are incredible. This city is incredible. So welcome. I just want to start off with some prayer because prayer is always good. And who knows, we can't do this in our own strength and through God. So God, right now, we just thank you that you are here, Father God. We just pray that your words are what come through me, Father God. I know that it's not my words that will inspire, but it's your words. Father God, I just pray the very first Sunday of 2020, I just pray that your words right now and your spirit might come and touch ours. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Did everyone have a good New Year's? All right. So I'm a little bit younger than Marty. I don't know if you can tell. But I like a little bit of talk back, so feel free to work with me. Helps this work along a little bit better. So chances are that over New Year's, you guys probably made one, maybe two, maybe five different New Year's resolutions. I feel like everyone that preaches on the first Sunday of a new year talks about resolutions. I'm here to tell you this is no different. So, chances are they were something like, I want to get fit. I want to read a little bit more. I want to learn a new language, which is always interesting. But who knows, also, just like every other preacher that preaches on the first Sunday of a new year, we tell you that chances are you're probably not going to keep these resolutions. Now, I'm sorry to break it to you, but studies show that by February, most of us probably won't keep our resolutions. Come Valentine's Day, I want to get fit, but now I'm sitting in bed with my significant other and we're just munching on chocolate and that New Year's resolution is completely out the window. Thank you, Jesus, for the chocolate and thank you for the extra love. So what's the point, right? Might as well just scrap the New Year's resolutions. It's not really that significant. Doesn't really matter. What's the point, right? That's what the devil wants you to think anyway. So I'm here today. I believe that we will be able to discover a few habits, maybe even systems in your life that will really help us reach those goals and keep those resolutions. So the first thing I want to do is I want to teach you how to establish... Oh, actually, I want to teach you what an actual habit is. So up on the screen, a habit is... A habit is a routine or behavior that is repeated regularly and tends to occur subconsciously. Or it's a fixed way of thinking, willing, or feeling acquired through previous repetition of a mental experience. Now, I read a really interesting statistic the other day that'll also come up on the screen. They say that 40% of our day, whether you know it or not, whether you agree with it or not, is done purely out of habit, all right, and not by choice. So you think that you get up in the morning and you get to choose your breakfast and you get to choose the way you drive to work, but really, we do that out of habit. Who's ever, then show of hands, who's ever gotten home and just gone, man, I don't even know where the day went? Or I don't even remember how I got home. I just was here I just got here. Yeah? Yeah, chances are, if it's happened to me, it's happened to you. Okay, so if you're taking notes, here's my very first point. How do habits form? A habit is formed like this. First, there is a trigger that can be a place, a time, that can be a mood, a moment, or even a person or people. I mean, unless of course it's you guys. Obviously, you guys don't dislike people because no one ever gets on your nerves or has ever caused you strife. But for me, it could be people as well. Then there's a behavior that happens to fill the need. I need to get away from these people. I need to try and fill this time. I need to try and get over this hunger. And then there's a reward that is given. So normally there's a dopamine release, or there's an escape from reality. Maybe for you, it could be a high, whether it's you're driving a car really fast and that's exciting, whatever that looks like, that could be you. So for example, just say you've just finished work, you haven't eaten all day because work's been way too busy. I've experienced that. I don't know if anyone else has ever experienced that. Now, in order to cope, when you get home, there's going to be stuff waiting for you when you get home. Maybe the only way to cope or to escape is to start with, when you get home, maybe it's the one drink. Maybe it's raising your voice. Maybe to get your point across. Maybe to avoid going home altogether. You keep yourself way too busy. I mean, it's very easy to do. Oh, I'd rather just stay at work. I've probably got heaps of stuff that I can get done here anyway. Or if I do my time right, I should be able to maybe make it to the gym and then do this first and then do this first and then I'll get home and, oh, rats, I didn't get to see the kids or the wife, or I didn't get to see the dog, or, oh, well, I guess I'll work on that later. Because it's easier to face busyness than it is to face what's at home sometimes. All of this is great until one drink turns into three, a raised voice turns into a hole in the wall, or maybe never being home starts to wear down on your relationship and then you really have something to face when you get home. Maybe there's someone that you just can't, maybe for some of you, maybe for the teenagers, maybe not, I don't know. Maybe you just can't seem to get out of bed in the morning. I know for certain people in the house, maybe my wife, maybe not, it takes you 10 different snoozes before you actually get out of bed. Oh, I'm going to be so good. I'm going to set my alarm for 5 a.m. and it's going to be great. And then 6 a.m. rolls over and you're like, oh, I could probably, if I don't shower and I don't have breakfast, I could probably roll out of bed, jump in the car, and I'm in the car on my way to work. Brilliant. And then you're cursing every red light that you see, and everyone that doesn't want to speed is from the devil, and you're just like, I don't know how this happened. Now, maybe some of these don't apply to you, but maybe you can think of something else that is a habit that you worry could spiral into something more extreme. Maybe you're someone that just seems to get, maybe you're someone that when things get a little out of control, you turn to eating. Maybe it's something as simple as that. But what I want to ask you is, how can we change these situations so that they don't get worse? Well, the good news is that all habits aren't bad. All right, so just like bad habits, there are good habits. All right. In fact, I'd like to suggest that good habits or systems are essential for being successful. In fact, Craig Rochelle, who famous preacher over in the States, he actually says that successful people do consistently what ordinary people do occasionally. So I'll say that one more time. So successful people do consistently what ordinary people do occasionally. So in a book called Atomic Habits by this guy called James Clear, incredible book, by the way, Marty and I were talking about this just this morning. I would encourage the read, or even if you're not someone like me and you're not really much of a reader yet, I'm working on it. I would so encourage you just to get a look at it, because I reckon this will change your life. So by James Clear, it says that winners and losers have the same goals. So to put it into perspective, at the beginning of an AFL season, whether you're a West Coast or you're a Dockers fan, or you don't go for any of them because you didn't originate on the West Coast, which is fair. Come on, let's go the Swans. No one starts a season and aims for fourth place. You don't see the coach sitting in the dressing room going, all right, boys, this is the plan. West Coast are way too dominant this year, so if we aim for about fourth place, we'll at least make semis, and then we should be good from there, yeah? So let's go fourth place. Everyone, hands in the middle, fourth place on three. One, two, three, fourth place. No one does that, all right? The goal is always, I want to win. We want to be successful. The difference is the discipline and consistency. So successful people do consistently, or ordinary people do occasionally. Point number two, you have to get your diet right. So a balanced diet, who has ever gone, you know what, I think I'm going to try fasting, you know, every now and then, because I just want to slim down. It's summer, so I'm going to slim down a little bit, or whatever. Balanced diets, balanced diet of prayer and God's word is so, so important. So one habit I've been working on is spending more time in prayer and worship. Now, I realized I was spending a lot of time just listening to music, and I didn't really spend a lot of time, if I'm honest, if we can be on, we're in church here, we can all be honest. I wasn't spending quite as much time as I know I needed in prayer, worship, reading God's word. And I was in leadership at this point of time, so I knew I wasn't spending as much time as I needed to. So I decided I wanted to create a habit of doing this more. So what I did was I started listening to podcasts. Now, podcasts are super great. If you've never listened to a podcast, I highly recommend it. If you're someone like me, if I could have my earphones in 24/7, I would. I love music. I love listening to people speak. Like I said, I'm not really a great reader. Well, I mean, I can read. I just don't like reading. So if you're like me, perhaps listening to a podcast will really get you into that habit of listening and getting into God's word. For me, it was listening to them on the drive to work. Now, for some people, this might not be like your cup of tea. You might be someone that likes to just drive in silence. Great. We'll get to a few other points that you guys might be able to get to. But for me, it was podcasts. I loved podcasts, some simple ones by people like Judah Smith and the Church Home Team, maybe even Hope City. There's an incredible guy from down south. His name's Jeremy Foster, incredible preacher. Then I changed the music I was listening to. Now, you don't have to get rid of all your old music. Now, they're called oldies and goldies for a reason. We don't have to get rid of the music, all right? But you have to understand that what you're listening to is going to feed you, all right? Now, unfortunately, you can't have the worship team follow you to work every day. As much as I'd love to be able to sit in the back seat and drum for you, it doesn't work. You just can't do that. So we need to get these systems in place where, although it doesn't seem like it's doing much at first, we start doing these little ones and twos, and then these ones and twos turn into a bigger habit. And then once we've established a habit, it's so much easier to improve on that. But if we don't even have the habit to start off with, it's almost impossible to improve. Then you have to start reading your Bible more. Now, I started with a YouVersion reading plan. You can get them for 3 days. You can get them for 7 days. Heck, you can get a read the whole Bible in 365 days if you want to. But can I encourage you, don't start right like right at the 365 days thing. If you're not reading at all, chances are you'll get about a weekend and be like, oh, I just don't have time. I've got to do the shopping. I've got to do the cooking. I've got to do the cleaning. I've got to go to work. Kids aren't listening. Chances are you won't have the time because it's not a habit yet or it's not a priority yet to jump into that. So they just start like that. I found that the more I listened or the more I got into my YouVersion, I seen a lot of stories, even listening to podcasts, I heard a lot of stories that I heard as a kid, especially, so I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist church. For me, I heard a lot of these stories in Sabbath school. You might hear them in Sunday school or Elevation Kids. But I then challenged myself to go back and look at these stories with fresh eyes, because I think when you get fresh revelation, you start to get a little bit more hungry for God's word. Yeah. Read one verse a day. If that's all it takes, you went from reading no verses in 365 days to reading 365 verses in the year. Brilliant. You're on your way. You guys will be philosophers in no time. But you need to build that habit before you can build on the habit and improve. Now, the reason this is so important is because when you get into God's word, you start to discover what God's word says about you. You start to discover who you're meant to be. You understand that you are not just here, but you are victorious. That you are the head and not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. That you are called to greatness. And that when there was no way, God made a way by sending his only son, so that when we were still separated from God within sin, that he could make a way for us. That he who knew no sin could hang on a tree for us. I think that's incredible. I think how incredible that we can stand and declare that that devil, you're nothing but a punk. We know that you come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm not going to have it. Doesn't matter what distractions or temptations come our way, because God has already made a way, and his name is Jesus. I know how the story ends, and I know that I am victorious, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I just want to thank him. Can we give God a praise for about 20 seconds right now? Now, you may not read your Bible or pray as much as you know you should. It's hard, I get it. But here's a challenge for you guys. One verse a day, like I said, YouVersion Bible app. And maybe we just need to change our perspective and actually say that this is significant. Can I challenge you guys? When you do something that you know God has called you to, I dare you to say, I double dare you, because whenever someone double dares you, you know you have to do it. So this is significant. When you're driving the kids to school, this is significant. When you're cleaning up after them, this is significant. When you get up to go to work at 5 a.m., which is an ungodly hour, this is significant. When you know money's going to be tight, but you tithe anyway because you know that that's what God's called you to do, this is significant. Maybe if we can start to declare that this is significant, it changes from this is difficult to this is what I need to do in order to be where I need to be who God's called me to be. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is significant. Finally, number three, you need to train your soul. So what is the soul? Simply put, the soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. So when God created us, it's the very breath that God put in us. That's our soul. If you have your Bibles, paper, or smartphone, or dumb phone, I don't know how you get it on your dumb phone, but if you don't bring your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen behind us. John 17, 15 through to 17 goes like this. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, by your word. Your word is truth. And then when we go to Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Or other versions will say the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we train our mind, will, and emotions? By working on forming those good habits or systems that bring you closer to the person you want to be. Can I ask you, what is it worth to you? What seems like one insignificant thing today that will collect over time and be the difference between failure and success? What is it that we can start from doing occasionally and start doing consistently? What is it worth to you? I'm just going to hand over to Marty, but before I do, I just want to pray. So God, I just pray right now that we would do consistently what others do occasionally. Father God, I just pray that you would come and that you would let this word marinate on people's hearts right now. We just thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' name.
Awesome, Chris. So good. Hey, so as we've discovered so far, sorry, I'm a little bit, the older you get, the more OCD you get about where things are. But as we've discovered so far, if you're going to see change in 2020, if you're going to take goals and dreams and resolutions and make them actual realities, like Chris said, we need to understand how habits are formed. We need to get our diet right, and we need to train our soul. And last point I'm going to give you, and then we're going to wrap up, is number four, we've got to exercise the spirit. So obviously we've got this whole, you know, New Year's get fit analogy because we probably ate, you know, way too much at Christmas time. And obviously that's what Jesus came for, you know, so we could all, you know, eat more than we should during Christmas. But when you talk about exercising the spirit, what sort of body part do you think comes to mind? It's not your biceps, as huge as you want them to be. It's not even your abs, and it's not even your booty when it comes to exercising the spirit. The part of the body that we need to exercise God's spirit is your ears. I know, not very talked about much when it comes to fitness. Oh man, check out those guys' ears. They're ripped. They're amazing. But to exercise the spirit is to use your ears to hear God's voice. He wants to speak to you. And he's waiting for us to listen. See, oftentimes when we think of God speaking, we think of, you know, the big booming voice of heaven telling us, you know, all the things that maybe we're doing wrong. And, you know, I saw what you did last night, and you spoke like this, and you did this, and you cut that person off in traffic, and you, you know, did this, and you did that. And it is sometimes that. God's voice comes, and it brings conviction to our lives. Or we think that God's voice is just about doing specific things. You know, the leading of God. You should go and pay for that guy's petrol. You need to go and talk to that person. Just that person comes on your heart to ring a friend that you haven't spoken to. And they're like, oh, he just rang it right, just the right time. I needed that encouragement. And God is definitely that. God's voice is definitely there for that. But don't forget that God wants to come and he wants to bring encouragement. He wants to speak life, he wants to speak identity, and he wants to speak purpose to you, wherever you are, no matter what season of life. You know, when you're struggling and wondering if you're doing a halfway decent job as a parent, like God wants to come, he wants to speak to you, and so you're on the right track. You're doing great. I want to encourage you. The fact that you're thinking about this is even something. When you're a teen or maybe a young adult here and you're trying to figure out your identity and what's life supposed to be about and what should I be doing and where should I be placing myself, God wants to come. He wants to bring encouragement. He wants to speak purpose. He wants to speak destiny into your hearts to say you have a call. You have a purpose. I have something for you. You know, maybe you're near the other end of life's journey and you're thinking, well, what have I got left to give? The, you know, best days are behind me. It's all, you know, God wants to come. He wants to say you're valuable. He wants to say there's gold on the inside there that I want to mine out of you to make a difference in the people's lives. See, God's voice is not just to go here, do that, or don't do that, or do this. He wants to come and he wants to speak love and he wants to speak encouragement. He wants to speak into your life to build your life. See, we're going to understand what a habit is. We're going to make sure that in our lives that we build those systems. We're gonna make sure that we put those things into our hearts. We're gonna get our diet right. We're gonna train our soul, but we're also gonna exercise the spirit. Our spirit is to hear what God is saying. You know, the Bible says this quickly in John 10, verse 27. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." That's Jesus speaking. We're his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." You know, one of the very practical ways that I've had God speaking to my life over a few years, and we've been doing this practice over the past 4 or 5 years actually, comes from our exec pastor, Pastor Miles, who's been here a few times before. But we had this thing at the start of the year in Elevation that we do, and it's called the one word. And so what that is we pray and we seek God personally for what's one word that God wants to theme my life around. What's one word for 2020 that God wants to speak to my heart? That one word brings focus when there's maybe 1,000 goals or, you know, 50 million things to do, places to go, targets to hit. But however, many times when you think about goals and dreams and those sorts of things, they're all external. But what God wants to do is he wants to bring one word. He wants to bring something to us that builds us from the inside out, not just organizes the outside stuff. Does that make sense? And so last year, I'm still in process of deciding what my word for this year is, but last year, the word that I felt God speak to me was authority. And so it was about, you know, stepping into a new role and a new place, and that I would understand the authority that God's placed in my life as a child of God, as a leader, as a pastor, as a responsibility I have. And it was something that I went back to throughout the year, where maybe I felt like something was slipping or felt like I didn't know what to do. No, that's right, God. You spoke to me about the authority that's in my life. It was something that I built my life around. I did some reading plans like Chris was talking about, YouVersion, which is a Bible app. And so I did some reading plans around understanding the authority in Christ. It helped me with focus. It reminded me of who I was in Christ. But probably the biggest benefit of it, and this is always the case, it's not actually, it sounds funny, it's not actually the one word that you get, but the greatest benefit is the seeking, asking, listening to God's Spirit for what that's going to be. That's actually one of the biggest things that sets up the year to go, you know what, I'm going to put aside time, I'm going to exercise the Spirit by tuning my ears to hear God's voice, and it's that process of seeking God this actually brings the biggest change. You see, there's a verse in Revelation, and if you don't know, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It's fairly crazy. I'm not a big end times person. I'll be honest, I understand very little of it. It's mostly like a prophetic book that speaks about things to come, and there's crazy dragons, there's beasts with all these heads, and, you know, it's crazy. But the start of Revelation, the first three chapters, there are messages to seven different churches. And there's this verse which is quite famous that's used a lot when it comes to that time in the service, which we'll have in a few moments, about asking people to follow Jesus. It's a verse that's used a lot for that. I've used it for that as well, and that's not wrong. But if you look at this verse I'm about to read, where it is in context, I'll read it for you, Revelation 3:20. If you've been in church for a bit, you might know it. Maybe the band can come at the same time. Revelation 3:20 says this. It says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as a friend." I've used it plenty of times. You know, God's knocking on the door of your heart. You know, you've never followed Jesus before. Would you open up and accept him? And it is that. But, you know, this is actually written to the church. It's actually written to the church in Laodicea. It's the last of the seven churches that Revelation speaks about in that section. And this morning, in this first Sunday of 2020, new year, new decade, all those things, I want to tell you, if you're a follower of Christ, then once again, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He wants to come in and, like, I love the picture that it uses, have a meal with you. He wants to share life with you. He wants to share His way with you. He wants to share purpose and destiny with you. And just like, and maybe your family wasn't like this, but just like a family would gather around a table and maybe laugh or share about the day, would maybe speak about hopes and dreams, speak about future, where, you know, parents would put in love and destiny and authority into their kids, would shape their children's identity. That's what God wants to do with you. And that knocking on the door of your heart is not a one-time thing just to ask Jesus into your heart, although it is that as well. But it doesn't stop there. It's each and every day. And so this morning is 2020, start of the new year, start of the new decade. Jesus is knocking. He's saying, will you let me in this year? I want to share a meal, share my life, share my ways, share my practices with you. Will you exercise the Spirit? Would you understand what a habit is? Would you get your diet right of prayer, of reading God's Word, spending time in His presence? Would you train your soul, but then would you exercise your spirit to hear what He has for you this morning, to hear what He has for you today? So this morning, I'd love us. I'd love to challenge you. Would you take some time this January and start that? Would you say, God, would you speak to me? What's one word? What's one theme that I can put in my life this year? Write it down somewhere. If you're, you know, creative and good with handwriting, get a nice journal and put it there. I'm not. My handwriting's terrible, so I use notes on the phone. And put it in. Go, okay, what's my one word? And can I tell you, it's not about getting this amazing word. It's actually about the seeking after God. Seeking after Him. Putting time and space aside. I spoke about this briefly last week, but from next Sunday, we're going to start a two-week period of prayer and fasting. And that doesn't mean that you have to, or it's not a compulsion to fast. And traditionally, you fast food, but you can fast other things as well. Like I mentioned last week, for those that were here, I'd love to challenge you as a church, each and every individual. Maybe this isn't the thing for you, but during that time, would you fast social media? You're like, well, why would I do that? I cannot think, I said this last week, but I cannot think of a greater stealer of time than social media or Candy Crush or Minecraft or something, you know, something along those lines, if you're not on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or, you know, the other thousand, tell on me or whatever. Tell on me? Tell on you? No, I'm getting teenagers shaking heads at me. It was close. Tell on you? What is it? Me. Tell on. I got it right the first time. I shouldn't have doubted myself. But I want to challenge you. Do you know there was this study that, I can't remember the stats, I'm slightly making it up, but it's pretty close to this, but that after 5 days, people that got off social media were like 40% happier than they were 5 days previous. I'll say it properly next week. I'll find the stat, but I heard there's something about giving yourself time and space. As a church, we're going to post once on January 12th on our social media and then not again for 2 weeks. Why? Because we believe in this. We want to create time and space. And so I'd encourage you, through January, would you set aside some time to seek God, seek His word for your life for this year? And you know what? You may not use the one word thing. You might use something else. But you know what the whole deal is? It's seeking after God to find His purpose and His life and His destiny for you this year.